Guys, is our will on a collision course with God's will? How do we even know what His will is for us? Hello, I'm Brian Patrick. Welcome to Crossing the Goal, where we tackle the tough issues men may think about but seldom talk about. As we continue to explore the Our Father, our topic is Thy Will Be Done, this time on Crossing the Goal. We've reached the petition, Thy Will Be Done, as we continue to study the Lord's Prayer, the Our Father, here on Crossing the Goal. Let's meet our Crossing the Goal team with Renewal Ministries, Peter Herbeck, the founder and president of Focus, Curtis Martin, and our coach, who is an all-pro wide receiver for the New Orleans Saints and coach for the Saints and the Bears, Danny Abramowitz. Guys, I know we all want to do God's will. I certainly do, but Peter, how do we even know what the will of God is for us?
The foundation of God's will for all of us, the Catechism talks about it, takes it right from the Scriptures. It says, God desires that all would be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So, first on God the Father's heart, first on the heart of Jesus, first in the whole Trinity, their passion is to see that every single human being would come to salvation. What's salvation? Living with God forever in heaven.
Well, God really created us with a free will to choose life or death, right or wrong, even to choose Him or not choose Him. Basically, it breaks down to, do we want to do it according to His will or our will? And most of the times in this day and age, it's according to my will or our will. Well, Frank Sinatra has a song, I did it my way. Well, we do it our way. Well, hell's filled with my ways.
That's a way with words, doesn't it?
Right. Yeah. I think we have to see something that's very powerful here, and you're both pointing at it, and that is, does God want us to go to church on Sunday? And I would say, of course, He doesn't not want us to go to church on Sunday, but that's not what He's after. He actually wants us to want to go to church on Sunday. Pews in the church go to church on Sunday, and God doesn't get excited about that. Candles go to church on Sunday, and God doesn't get excited. What He wants is He wants His sons and daughters to will to be there. And we have to recognize that when we will what He wills, it brings joy to God's heart to be able to see the power of this. When you look at what free will has unleashed, the misuse of free will, God, who's all-powerful, looked into the future, saw all of reality, and said, I'm willing to tolerate all of this evil to gain a greater good. That's how much He prizes us doing His will. This is the center of the Lord's Prayer, that God's will would be done.
So to do God's will, I don't have to give up my own will. I just have to bring my will in alignment with His will.
Well, you might have to give up some if it's not consistent with the Lord. You might have to give up something that you're willing that's not consistent. And I think this petition too, we can't miss this. I think because it's not only a matter of what is the personal will for me, the Lord wants me to marry this person or go here or go there. What He also wants me to do and what Jesus asks us to pray is that we would have His passion for the salvation of souls. That the founding desire of the Lord to see that all men be saved, that this would be on our heart. And so we would engage the mission of the church. That's why the church is fundamentally missionary.
And a lot of times people say, well, God took a gamble here, giving us the free will to choose even to Himself.
Right.
And we're out here with our will, we will it our way. We want everything our way and, you know, or convenient. I'll do it this way, but
sure.
Lord, just wait here. I'll take care of it from here on out. You know, you just stay in the background. We want it as convenient to us.
It's important to encourage what Peter says is that it's one thing to stop sinning, and that's good. That's really good. But what God wants us to do is share His passion, primarily for souls, but anything that He's passionate about, healing injuries, caring for the poor, bringing the good news of the gospel to those that don't have it, to have those passions, then we're allowing His will to be done on earth as it is in heaven.
And you know, the Lord's goal isn't to just get us to church on Sunday. He wants us to get to church on Sunday, to worship Him and to feed at His table, but He wants us to send us out the door. That's why they say, go, get out, go, share what you've received here, share what you're living in here.
And He wants us to do these other things in life. You know, that He wants us to be happy. It's not like we got to wait till up we get to heaven. He's right down here. Do His will and our will down here. It's
and
a combination.
Even facing persecution, He was willing to pray, Thy will, not mine be done. How do we do that as human beings? Well, we're going to get a game plan from Peter and Curtis next here on Crossing the Goal.
Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Why do the angels and saints do the Lord's will in heaven? Is it because the Lord demands it? I would imagine it is because of their love of the Lord and their desire to do His will. So if His kingdom come and His will be done on earth as it is in heaven, that means He's waiting for us to do His will out of our love and desire to please Him.
Peter, we're talking about the Lord's Prayer and specifically the idea of allowing God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. How is that even possible?
You know, we've been talking all the shows we've been looking at the Lord's Prayer, dimensions of the Lord's Prayer. We've talked about how Jesus is modeling for us in His own life the very thing He's asking us to pray for. Jesus modeled for us the disposition toward the Father of yielding our will to His will, the Garden of Eden. Not my will, but yours be done. He struggled with it. He said, Lord, this cup, you know, this cup is a heavy cup, Father. Will you take this cup from me? And he understood what the will of the Father was. And even as difficult as it looked, what held him there was his heartfelt knowledge that the Father was utterly trustworthy, no matter what the circumstance looked like. So Jesus said, not my will, but yours be done. There's two kinds of people in the world, those who say, thy will be done or my will be done. Jesus said, this is the way now to salvation. I'm going to make it possible for you to move from my will be done to thy will be done. And he did that. That's why he went to the cross. On the cross, he broke all the principalities and powers. He broke the dominion, we said this last week, the dominion of power of sin over us, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And he rose again to new life, ascended to the Father, poured out his Holy Spirit to give us what Scripture calls the fulfillment of the prophetic word in the Old Testament, a new heart. So that from the inside, I now have a new power, a new capacity to want the will of God.
These dominions and powers, though, I mean, these are fallen angels who are at the service of the devil. And the devil and his fallen angels are liars. And so while the dominion has been broken, they're not going to let you know that. So you're right. Going to feel right. As though you're the same old man.
Yeah,
and the question is, how do I get out of these bad habits? You know, I belong to one holy Catholic and apostolic church, but I don't act all that holy.
Right.
So how exactly do I change this? And we've talked quite a bit about the world being really falling into two categories, those who have chosen to accept the Lordship of Jesus Christ in their lives, who acknowledge Him and begin to follow Him, and those who have been lulled into a sense of suppressing the reality of God and losing their sense, and so of right and wrong. Mm-hmm. And we look at what is God's will for us, and St. Paul gives us even more insight in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3. He says, this is God's will for you, your sanctification, that you would become holy. And then he said,
What does holy mean?
Set apart, living differently, completely owned and possessed by God. How else would you?
No, it's good. That's exactly what I was thinking. I mean, I've become God's man.
Absolutely.
Maybe set apart. I'm going His way. I'm all in. Paul says in Corinthians later, he says, now, when we get to that point, he said, now I make it my aim to please God. And it's another way to talk about it.
And he's going to go right here and say, well, how do we displease God? And he says, how do I become holy? That is that you would abstain from sexual immorality. Because when we take the gift of God that is sexuality and misuse it, we're saying no to the Creator who has a design and purpose. God's not opposed to sex. He created it.
Yeah.
It's not that He doesn't want us to enjoy it. He made it pleasurable.
Right, right. He's the God of pleasure.
Absolutely. Yeah. But He wants us to enjoy it in light of His own will, so that within marriage, open to life, we find a sharing, a communion of persons who can live out that joy. And as we live the right way, we begin to see God correctly. We come to the knowledge of truth, and then, as you quoted earlier, we can be saved.
Right. And He wants to move us, great example, He wants to move us from lust, which is looking at the whole, our sexual power, literally to draw someone to myself for my pleasure, to love, which is losing myself in that act of pleasure, that act of love, and become self-donation rather than me using someone for my own pleasure. I now use my powers to give myself to someone, and it leads to a whole nother level of pleasure, which God intended for us. Now, it's God's grace that moves us from point A to point B. It's the power of the Holy Spirit in us moving us and transforming us to actually want what God wants for us.
And we live in a culture that makes it very difficult for us to do this, because we live in a culture and we live in bodies that are acclimated towards comfort. I mean, you can think about it. You can go to sleep at night and have just a sheet, wake up in the morning, you got a blanket. You don't even wake up to make yourself comfortable. We're almost hardwired for comfort. And you can't give in to comfort completely and become great. And God's called us to step out of our comfort zone and to allow His will to be done. This is exactly what the Spirit of Christ gives us, the ability to turn away from, it's all about me, what can you do for me, the idea of lust, to get outside of myself, what can I do for you, and then meet people where they are. If you're hungry, let me feed you. If you're naked, let me clothe you. Yeah. And to be able to be the person who radiates Christ, who looks into people and says, how can I help you? What is your need? And to be able to serve people where they are.
Paul says in Romans 8, he says, if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. The deeds of the body is that whole drive toward my will. Paul says, how does the drive toward my will, my own self-fulfillment, how does that get dealt with? It gets dealt with by the grace and power of the Holy Spirit alive in my life, and I'm acknowledging the struggle that I have, and I allow the Holy Spirit through His help, through Scripture, through sacraments, through, you know, prayer, through support, all of those things the Holy Spirit wants to give us to gradually get us, as Paul would say later in Romans, out from under the reign, the dominion of our flesh, now moving in the grace and power of the Holy Spirit, which is all momentum toward the will of God, fulfilling the will of God.
We're given a number of different barometers. In Galatians chapter 5 is a great one. You can open up your scriptures after the show and look at it. Galatians chapter 5, and look at verse 19 and following, gives the deeds of the flesh. Are you living like a carnal man, like a worldly man? And then we see in verse 22, the deeds of the Spirit, and we can see which one of those typify us. And if you're disappointed, you say, gosh, I'm living like a man of the world, then we can repent. We're able to turn to our Lord and receive mercy and forgiveness and allow His will to be done in our lives as it will be in heaven. Brian?
Thanks, Curtis. Thank you, Peter. Coach, we have a solid game plan now for Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That means it's time to head for the red zone.
I will be there.
And I'm following you. We're in the red zone next here on Crossing the Goal. This is the Red Zone on Crossing the Goal. We're talking about the Lord's Prayer, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. A guy who might know how it's done in heaven, Danny Abramowitz, a former saint.
Yeah, he was in hell long enough, he got to know how to get a...
I don't think that sounds too good, saying a former saint.
A former saint.
He's a current saint.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Ask my wife about that. She'll...
Your story, the story of starting Crossing the Goal, is really a good example on how to discern God's will, move forward, not knowing exactly where you're going, but put your trust and faith in Him.
Well, especially if you look back and think, if someone said 25 years ago, Danny, you would be doing a Catholic television show on Crossing the Goal. It shows you, even with sinners like myself, the biggest of sinners, the Lord can change my way of living by going His way. Yeah. I decided to go His way. This program, it just came up through just common sense of looking, what will touch men's hearts? That's what all of us want to do, that touch men. But you can't do it in a just typical way of preaching or anything like that. And what does men like? Men like sports shows and things of that nature. So we did the sports motif. Plus, I knew you guys. We got together as a team. I think it's so imperative that a team concept. Mm-hmm. It's not supposed to be out here by ourselves. And then the whole idea of putting it together, and EWTN bought into it. But many people say, oh, that's not going to work. Tell you, you don't do it. But it was through prayer. Prayer came. I mean, I had the natural thing of just thinking about what will affect men.
Right.
How
would this be a good idea?
Good idea. Sure. But the real thing about going and doing it, and the whole vision came once I just turned it over in prayer to His will, and then that's what's
happened. Move forward.
Yeah. The great thing is, Danny, that you look at the way that God, long before you were even thinking about what He wanted, He was already preparing
because
the sports motif, well, you led the athlete's life and then a coach's life. You have had your life impacted and seen your life transformed, so you want to go out and help other men. And so really, it's the path you've led that also helped you to see what you should be doing now. And I think that's true for a lot of men. There are a lot of guys who are kind of on the sidelines thinking, well, I really don't know what I should do. You know, take it to prayer. But don't be surprised when you look back in your life, if your life has been affected by abortion, well, then maybe your job is to go out and shut abortion clinics down. If your life's been affected negatively by pornography, then maybe your job is to destroy pornography in our culture. Find your wounded portion in our culture that you see as a wound, and then with God's grace, go in and go to war.
Well, you know, it seems like you see wounds all over the place, though, in certain ways, and you say, well, how do I know which one he wants me to do? Guys might be watching and saying, you know, Danny, you said you kind of had a sense about something. You had a spiritual, well, I don't get those, and I don't know how it works. I mean, what would you say to a guy in that kind of a position?
Well, I think it just didn't come snap out of the way. You have to put you in a position to be able to hear the Lord speak to you, to know His will in your life. It's not a voice, hey, Danny, go do this, crossing the goal. You know, it's through that, and then if you remember, I contacted you guys, what do you think of this, what about this, using the human element, but the final decision doesn't come here. It comes down in your heart. You know it's right, and things start coming together when that takes place.
Yeah, and sometimes it takes a long time. I got into radio when I was 19 years old because I thought it'd be great. You could party and be, you know, everything's great, it's easy. What God had in mind for me was that I was going to do a Catholic radio show, and of course helping with Crossing the Goal 30-some years later. So it takes a long time. But we have to put ourselves and seek God's will for us.
Don't you guys think this too? A lot of guys, to your point, Peter, they're going to change. I don't hear that. Or a lot of times guys say they're fearful of change.
Right. That they don't want to listen too closely because they're afraid he might ask me to do something I don't
want
to do.
Or they say, I really want to change, but they really don't want to. You know, it feels so good. That whole thing is the will. We know that one thing we do know for sure, maybe we don't know exactly what the will of God is, but we know this is not His will.
We know what it is.
The sin, we're in sin. We know that.
Right.
No one has to, it's not no big scriptures we have to go to or the catechism. We know innately inside of us that it's wrong.
And that's a good place to start. Not doing the things we know are not His will.
Right.
One of the things that I hope we could talk about a little more intensely here is the whole call to mission. I mean, we said God's will is that all be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Pope John Paul II spent 25 years trying to mobilize the church into a new evangelization. All the recent popes said, why does the Catholic Church exist?
To evangelize,
to communicate the truth. This is the whole reason the church exists. And after all these years of trying to mobilize the church, you know, when you look around, there aren't too many men doing evangelization. There aren't too many Catholics doing evangelization. And that's a very big problem because it's God's will that we get up and we share the gospel.
Why? We're looking around. We're looking in the mirror. It's you.
Yeah.
It's us.
Right.
That doesn't mean you have to go up and do a show like this. That doesn't mean you have to get a Bible and go here. That doesn't mean a lot of things. It's the little things that you can change that you talked about. Get involved with something. First of all, look at yourself. Change yourself. Because when a man, that's why I like, the man is the spiritual head of the family. Once he changed, when I was going through my problems, my family was messed up a little bit too. My family wasn't messed up. I was messed up. Now, once I got my act together, what happened? My family naturally fell back into place.
When you set your heart on the Lord, then gradually everyone else starts gradually moving toward that same purpose because you're moving in the leadership. And one of the best places to start evangelizing is in your own home.
And wherever you happen to be, at work it could be.
Yeah,
we were talking last night about the possibility of Christian businessmen going out and using their business practices. Sure, make money, sell your product, that's great. But use your business as an instrument to bring goodness and truth to people so that they can know the saving knowledge of truth, which is what God's will is for everybody.
Yeah, it's been kind of humbling. You know, I travel all over the world, and a lot of times I bump into Pentecostals and evangelical businessmen from the United States, China, Africa, different places like that. And I say, what are you doing here? You know, meet them at a hotel where they're there to do business, and they're helping local businessmen, but the real reason they're there? They're passionate about leading people to Christ. They're spending their own money. They're spending their own time. They're being excellent in their business. They're getting ahead in their business. But the real thing that's moving them is moving them towards sharing Jesus with others and bringing them to faith, the very thing we say the Catholic Church exists for. But these are fathers. They're businessmen. They're not necessarily full-time religious or in full-time ministry like me, but they're selling out. They're all in.
They're going in
and they love it. They say the best thing about their life is that whole
side. I want to expand upon the point you were talking about. You know, you got to look out in here in the world. The business guys, they put all kind of money involved in their business. The top cabin, do it the right way. let's spend money on this. We want to have money on this. The banks, let's do this. All these kind of business deals. But here we are for evangelization. Look at Focus. Look at Renewal Ministries. Look at EWTN. Look at Crossing the Goal. Really trying to do and struggle to try to raise money. And we got the greatest thing in the world to sell, Jesus Christ. That's what I don't see. People standing up for the faith and say, okay, let's tithe. Let's make these things. We're going to evangelize. Let's give these people some money.
It's conversion. Until our hearts are really converted, until we really recognize the desperate need that we have to surrender our life fully to Christ, and we do it, and we ask Him to become the Lord of our life and really start living it. Until that happens and our heart falls in love with Him, we're just not going to have as much passion for all that stuff.
We have to cultivate an eternal perspective. What does it look like? Because I'm telling you, when you get to heaven, you're not going to walk around saying, did you know I drove a Ferrari? Nobody cares.
Right.
Yeah, really. You know that I worked for some really cool company?
The question is,
are you a member of the church or not? Because that's what it's really going to be all about. Did you expand that? Oh, you got in. Did you bring anybody with you?
Yeah.
Because that's what you're going to want for the rest of eternity. You know what? By the grace of God, I got in. And look, I was able to bring some folks with me.
Pope Paul VI said this thing in this document, Evangelii Nuntiandi, way back in 1975. It was one of the grounding documents for evangelization. And he said, you know, lots of people worry about whether folks who live in Papua New Guinea who never have a chance to hear the gospel, the question, will they be saved? And he says, you know, the church has a teaching about that. If through no fault of their own, they follow their conscience and their will, and they don't, you know, Jesus, they can attain salvation through Jesus. But he said, here's the bigger question. The bigger question is will we be saved if we don't evangelize? That's literally, then he quotes Paul as saying, woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. That's
what
big.
Is the will of the Father and the Son? What's he want us
that
to do?
That all men would come to the saving knowledge.
And how's it going to come about?
They won't believe it. They don't have a preacher.
They got to have someone tell them. And it's got to be us.
The good news. The only people who can share the good news are the people who have the good news.
Right.
So you either have the good news and you share it, or you don't have it and you need to hear it. I mean, it's just two categories of people on
exactly.
earth.
Exactly.
And often it's shared one-on-one, one person
right.
at a time.
Absolutely.
We don't have to go out and convert the whole world all
right.
at once.
One absolutely. Beggar telling the other beggar where the feast is kind of thing. You know, one sinner telling another sinner, you know what, there's hope for you and me, there's mercy, there's a way out, there's life, it's life in God.
That's why I want guys to start, you know, I'm a big proponent of small groups, sharing groups, you know, you grow, that's how you learn and grow and be mentored by other guys. Like you said, if we're on fire for the Lord, when you come into these kind of, they'll see it. You don't have to say a whole lot. They'll look in your eyes. There's something different about him.
Sure.
And what is that? It's men getting together.
On that note, Coach, we're going to move into the end zone. Each of you guys get the last word on Thy Will Be Done on Earth as It Is in Heaven next here on Crossing the Goal. That was good, though. Here in the end zone, we give each member of our Crossing the Goal team an opportunity for the last word, this time on Thy Will Be Done on Earth as It Is in Heaven. Peter, you're on.
Thanks, Brian. Thanks a lot. Brothers, I want to leave you with a challenge that I once received from a brother. He said, you know, if you want to know if you're doing the will of God in your life, one helpful thing is to think about what you're doing with your time, talent, your treasure. I said, well, how am I going to know that? He said, go get your statement from your credit card. And look at it and see where, or your bank statement, see where you're spending your money, where you're investing your money, and how much of it, if any of it, is being directed toward the will of God, toward building the Lord's kingdom, to helping launch you even into the deeper service of the Lord in his kingdom. So.
That's a great point. And it is, I mean, they say there are two books that tell the truth about us. One is the book of life, and the other one is our checkbook. You know, you really see those values. Man, I want to share with you an invitation. And that is that the world is desperately waiting for us to catch fire. And I want to encourage you that the world is eager for you to step up and to allow God's will to come alive in your life in a more powerful way. There are so many areas in our culture that need the light of Christ. And so I would just invite you, what's that part of the culture that is the most disappointing to you? Is it politics? Then get into politics. What is it that drives you crazy? Whatever it is, God's placed that frustration in your heart as a spark to lead you on a path of an adventure of changing the world. And when you do that, when you place yourself on the front lines, He's going to begin working in you in overdrive to make you into the man you're supposed to be.
Men, many of us think, I'm not worthy to do these kind of things. You're not worthy. None of us are worthy. I am the worst of sinners of all time. If he can change my life, anybody has a chance to change. What I'm saying to you is what the Lord told us. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I'm asking you, follow his way.
Peter told me he was the worst of sinners.
Yeah. Well, next to me.
You guys, even it up. All right, our Crossing the Goal team, Coach Danny Abramowitz, Curtis Martin, Peter Herbeck, thanks for joining us on Crossing the Goal. This time we looked at Thy Will Be Done on Earth as It Is in Heaven. I'm Brian Patrick. Next time, give us this day our daily bread on Crossing the Goal.
That's right.
All right, here in the end zone, we challenge each member of our Crossing the Goal team to get the last word on Thy Will Be Done on Earth as it is in Heaven.
Do it over.
Okay.
This is your...
You become a producer, director.
No, 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 he didn't seem to have the...
Martin Scorsese like over here. Cut.
And if I interrupt him, watch what happens.
No, what are you doing?
No, it wouldn't stop him.
Do it over. Hey, there are no do-overs.
The reason I thought you were thinking of